Welcome to the Tea Huddle with Marissa and Kelly,
your only source for gridiron gossip. If you like football updates,
and if you like football player updates,
then you're in the right place. Welcome to the postseason, Marissa.
My first postseason. I can't believe I made it through an entire season of caring about football.
Yeah, watching every week.
I never
talking to me every week.
When we said there are 18 weeks in the season, I found that daunting. And look at us now. We did it.
And your team, your new team that was selected last week, the Lions. They made it to the playoffs, the wild card this week.
Exciting.
You must be very excited.
I'm excited. I'm proud.
We need to get you a jersey before then, I think.
Yes.
A good luck charm.
I need a jersey. Not a Matthew Stafford Lions jersey. So Matthew Stafford was, I'm just jumping ahead really quick for a second. Matthew Stafford was the quarterback on the Lions for years, and Jared Goff was the quarterback on the Rams. And then they traded places. So now Matthew Stafford is coming back home to play against his former Lions. And somebody posted something on Instagram like, nobody wear your Stafford Lions jersey. And Kelly Stafford, who we've talked about before, his over-involved wife, commented on that Instagram, like, really sad you think that way. Like, we love Detroit and we support you. And like, it's a shame that...
It's the playoffs. It's the competition.
It's the playoffs. It's the competition. It doesn't matter if it's a Lions jersey. You're not wearing a jersey that says your opposing quarterback's name on it. Anyway, we'll get into that game. We'll get into all the wild card, the... NFC,
predictions on the playoffs.
But before we look ahead, Kelly, will you please bring us up to speed, rundown of what happened week 18?
So last week 18, unlucky for me, as we all knew, the Patriots were not going to make the playoffs. But even more unlucky for me, they lost to the Jets for the first time in 15 matchups,
wow,
which was since 2015.
I didn't know that. I did know it was the first snow game that I watched. The Jets and the Patriots played against each other in the snow. It was fun to watch. It did not look like it was
fun
to play
for us, but it did not go well this past week.
Yeah.
But I guess silver lining, Patriots officially secured the third pick in the draft. So we are going to rebuild for next year.
So is that their final draft pick, or can there be trades between now and the draft? Like, I'll trade you this player for your third round draft, or like it's done.
I'm hoping that we actually use the third round draft.
Okay.
Pick.
Mm-hmm. Then so am I.
At this point, if we went through all that pain.
Yeah.
Some other updates from last week. The Eagles got smoked by the Giants. They lost the division and have fallen 1-5 in their past 6 games.
Yeah. Who would have thought they would have lost to the Giants?
I know. It was like...
Maybe Giants fans.
The Bills defeat the Dolphins to win the 4th straight AFC East title. And then maybe the most exciting play that happened this past week was when Jameis Winston on the Saints.
We've talked about him before because he sold crab legs from a supermarket.
Ah, yes. Yeah. He drank the out of the cup.
Oh, yeah, from a Burger King. He drank soda out of
the reminder. Yeah. Like,
just so everyone...
Interesting eating habits.
Yeah, exactly.
He went for a touchdown in the last minute of the game that was frowned upon by many, many people. The Saints were up 41-17 with a minute left in the game. And Winston was given a play call to kneel and end the game. They were up, you know, by a lot.
Yeah.
And they formed a victory formation, which is the universal sign that the game is going to end, that they're going to kneel. But instead, Jameis Winston and his team agreed in the huddle right before that they wanted Jamal Williams, the running back, to get a touchdown. So they went for it and got it, which is really a slap in the face and just poor sportsmanship. Neither coach was happy.
Definitely. They were screaming at each other on the field.
Before
I knew the backstory, first you just see the Falcons coach berating the Saints coach. But then it turns out that he made the call, the respectful call. And that the players are just like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're going to do what we want to do, which is funny and chaotic.
Yeah.
So I'm here for it.
It was chaos. Yeah. And I thought like, oh, maybe Jamal had an incentive that he needed, but mm-hmm. no, that wasn't the case. I mean, he hadn't scored a touchdown all year, so they wanted him to score a touchdown, which he got. I guess he got one, but
so incentives are like, if you do blank, you get more money. If you make it to the playoffs, or if you, so like some players need to catch a certain number of yards to get a big payout.
Bonus, yeah.
So right, we thought like, oh, he needed that one extra touchdown to, you know, cash a big check. But it was just that he hadn't caught
just
any
for his own pride.
He hadn't made any touchdowns this season. So his friends were like, you can have it. And they tricked the Falcons.
The Falcons will remember
more.
That next season.
Yeah. From what I've seen on Twitter, the Saints fans loved it. They're psyched about it.
They have a big rivalry. So they were. Yeah. But they will play again and
it'll be
out for blood. But speaking of incentives, mm-hmm. thank you for the background. Yeah, I just really jumped to it because it's been on my mind a lot after mm-hmm. this past weekend. There's a few players that made their incentives, a few that missed, and everyone likes to make money. So
definitely.
Certain players stand to make some serious cash at the end of the regular season if they hit certain incentives. So if they have a certain number of catches, mm-hmm. if they make it to the playoffs, it's in their contract from the beginning and they just have to get to that number by the end of the regular season mm-hmm. and they get a special bonus. So this past week, there are a few big ones that were still on the line.
Oh,
who made some cash and who just lost out on amount of money,
and not so like in the same game, not only do you not make the playoffs, you lose this like personal
a lot
bet
on the line
with yourself, sort of.
Yeah,
tough day for some of these people,
but some great days for others.
Yeah, let's start with who won.
Yeah, I think Baker Mayfield honestly was quarterback for the Bucks. Mm-hmm. He had a great day. He made $2 million with his win against the Panthers, which led to a playoff position for this coming week.
So it was like, if you make the playoffs, you get an extra $2 million.
Yeah. And they played the Panthers. They won 9-0. Not an exciting game. Not very impressive. There are no touchdowns.
Oh.
There was nothing really that happened. But because he made the playoffs, he got $2 million. So that's great. The team's moving on. He got paid.
Yeah.
He had a good day.
Yeah. Good for you, Baker.
Well, Chris Jones, he's a defensive tackle for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. He also got a good payday this past weekend.
What
he
did
got
he
his 10th get? Sack in week 18. And mm-hmm. he got $1.25 million.
Damn.
So not bad. And he went wild out there. The whole team was cheering. It was a really beautiful moment.
I saw this video. Right. To anyone who doesn't know the backstory or the incentive behind it, you see a regular play.
All the fans and
and then the whole team goes crazy. They're celebrating
on the sidelines. He's doing like somersaults.
Yeah, that was really cute.
Another player who hit his sack incentive was Jadeveon Clowney, the Ravens linebacker, who got 9.5 sacks for $750,000.
How do you get half a sack?
It's when someone else takes down the player with you. So there's
two
people. So it's like half a sack. The other guy's helping out. And he starts dancing on the field. He said in a press conference after the game that he's going to save the money for his three children. He's got three kids, so he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
For him.
Give him more.
And then for receivers, DeAndre Hopkins, Titans wide receiver, he took home $500,000 for getting two touchdowns and 50 yards against the Jags.
Nice.
So congrats to you guys.
It's so funny because you're not allowed to bet on a game, but having this in your contract is sort of like you're betting on yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And then you
some extra motivation
won
at the end of the season.
Yeah, definitely.
But unfortunately for a few players, they did not meet their incentives. So.
And they were losers.
Rough days for Geno Smith. He lost out on $2 million as he did not secure a playoff win.
So his season's over.
No money. Opposite of Baker Mayfield. Yeah, that was tough for him. And then Dalton Schultz, the tight end for the Texans, he missed a $250,000 bonus by one catch. Like, I think he needed four catches going into the game.
Uh-huh.
Got three.
Yikes.
Missed the last one.
That's a tough day.
Sorry, Dalton.
Yeah. Better luck next year. Maybe
but the Texans are in the playoffs, so at least
okay
that,
so. So like you lost but your team won.
Yeah,
Geno Smith, he lost and his team lost. Sucks. Can't win them all, Geno. It was not only a sad day for Geno Smith. There was another sad moment on Sunday when a certain coach walked off the field as a Patriot, maybe for the last time.
I know. I know.
I think we have to talk about that.
Yeah. He walked off, his face fully covered, like really couldn't read any emotion, I think. Yeah, on purpose. Yeah. But let's just take a second before we talk future to just appreciate all that Bill Belichick has done for the Patriots.
Definitely.
He became the coach back in 2000.
That is so long ago. That's a really
long ago.
Long time to be a head coach.
And during his career, he has had 332 wins, head coach wins, which is the second of all time behind Don Shula.
Oh, who? What team was Don Shula a coach for?
Mostly the Dolphins.
Okay.
And during his time on the Patriots, Belichick has 9 Super Bowl appearances as head coach, which is the most in NFL history.
Wow.
And of course, as we know, he had 6 Super Bowl wins, also the most in NFL history.
Wow.
I benefited greatly from all of these. Yeah. Just was a great time to grow up as a Patriot fan.
I bet.
But yeah, now his future is undecided. As we talked about earlier, the Patriots lost to the Jets on Sunday. And it is interesting how potentially his last game, which was during the snow, which other than the outcome, was somehow reminiscent of the beginning of the Patriot dynasty when Brady started playing. It was a snowy game. It was the Tuck Rule game with Brady in 2002. And it changed the whole future for the Patriots. So just the comparison of like the weather between this past weekend and that game. Yeah, interesting. I don't know how to feel about it, but I don't know. I personally am not ready to let him go.
You want him to stay?
He's done so much, and yeah. I don't like...
It feels like a sad note, or like not the right note to end on. Like, he's the most Super Bowl winning head coach of all time, and to leave with your like head down after
which it's always like
bad loss to a bad team.
Tough for coaches, I think. But I think now he has like a really good opportunity. We have the Patriots. We the Patriots have a like third round draft pick, and we have some cash, so we can
replace McCorkle,
pay some players, and I think we should see what he could do with that and then go from there. But it's not up to me.
No, they should call you.
Yeah. If you're listening, Robert Kraft, that's my take on it.
Comment on our Instagram, Robert Kraft at the Tea Huddle. So I dug around on Bill Belichick because him being the most, you know, Super Bowl winning head coach of all time didn't make him that interesting to me because I care more about what's going on in people's personal lives.
He doesn't share much in his press conferences.
No, but we did a little digging. We found some nuggets. So he's only been married once. He married Debbie Clark in 1977. They have 3 children. He had 2 sons and a daughter. The 2 sons both work under him at the Patriots. One as a outside linebackers coach and one as the safeties coach. So I wonder if they...
Yeah, I think if he leaves, they all leave. Wow. I mean, you just have to rebuild the whole team, which would be...
Oh, so like everybody, like the offensive coordinator, probably everyone
probably
starts fresh.
Most people would.
Interesting. And if he went to a different team, would they go with him? It's up to him. He gets to decide.
I would think maybe his sons, but I guess, it depends on
unless they're the reason he lost.
Defense is pretty good, so.
Oh, okay. So then Steven Belichick gets to stay. Brian, you're on the list. And then in 2006, things get interesting when a receptionist for the New York Giants, Sharon Shanoka, was going through a divorce of her own. So Bill Belichick was still married at this time, maybe separated. Like, maybe his wife knew they were separated. Maybe she didn't. He definitely was separated because when this other woman was going through her divorce, she had to reveal where she was getting a bunch of money from. And it was about $3,000 a month starting in 2005, so over a year earlier. And it turns out that Bill Belichick was wiring or mailing her...
Just sending her money.
...money every month. He also allegedly bought her a $2.2 million Park Slope townhouse. He rented her a Jersey Shore summer house for about $25,000. He put her on a private jet trip to Disney World. He paid for sessions with a personal trainer, a couple of pairs of earrings, and a bunch more stuff.
Wow. I mean, some of that makes sense of like what you would send a mistress, but yeah, not like the $3,000 a month like wired. Totally. To her.
And she lied in her divorce proceedings at first about where it came from, and then under oath she had to fess up. She had said, so Bill Belichick purchased the townhouse in like a trust, and it was like his initials. It was his initial, her initial, and then something else. And she said that this was just the landlord of the home. And then somebody said, what is the landlord's name? And she said, Bill Belichick. And they said, well, what's the rent? And she said, well, that hasn't really been figured out yet. So what kind of a landlord where you don't actually have to pay any rent?
Yeah,
sounds
not
like
bad.
A great agreement. Needless to say, he got divorced soon after this. So Sharon got divorced, Bill got divorced, but they didn't get together. Right after his divorce was finalized in 2007, he started dating Linda Holiday, who was a TV presenter he met out at a nightclub. Bill Belichick out at a nightclub. Eventually, he put her in charge of the Bill Belichick Foundation. So she served as the executive director. And they dated for 16 years and broke up earlier this season in 2023. It's sort of where things started going south for Bill. So maybe Linda Holiday was
Maybe he wasn't, he is heartbroken.
Yeah.
And it impacted the team.
Page Six said it was a drawn out back and forth breakup for nearly a year. So turmoil in your personal life can lead to, you know,
a bad season.
Bad season. So maybe that's what happened. But that's all I have on Bill Belichick.
Yeah, well, his his personal relationships have not been great. Mm-hmm. And we will find out soon what his work relationships will be, if he will stay with the Patriots or go somewhere else. So we know Bill was not fired on Black Monday, which is the first Monday after the regular season where coaches are typically let go.
But some people were. I saw news headlines of some firings. Who got canned?
The first one to go was the Washington Commanders coach, Ron Rivera. He was fired. I predicted earlier on that he would be fired during the season. He was not let go during the season. But yeah, Black Monday came and sure enough, the writing was on the wall and he no more.
Bye, Ron.
Yeah, he had a nice shout out to the fans and the players in Washington. So who knows what will happen to Ron. Another coach that was fired was the Falcons coach Arthur Smith after that embarrassing loss to the Saints that we talked about.
Maybe that's why he was so heated when they kicked him while he was down. He knew it was probably his last day.
Yeah, that's true. After
And we can't mention Arthur Smith, the former head coach of the Falcons, without including that his father is the founder and former CEO of FedEx. I just feel like anytime we talk about Arthur Smith, I need to say that his dad founded FedEx. So he'll be fine. He doesn't, you know, without the paycheck, he'll be okay.
Wink Martindale parted ways with the Giants. It was rumored a few weeks ago that him and Brian Daboll, the head coach, had some beef.
Right. That's the one that Brian Daboll said, the only thing we fight over is pizza. Yeah. Well, that's a lie because he clearly didn't want to work.
I know. Yeah. So there was something going on there. Mm. And then after Black Monday, but still relevant, the Titans coach Mike Vrabel was fired. And people speculate that he would coach the Patriots if Bill were to leave because he played for the Patriots.
Oh, I like when a coach used to be a player.
Yeah. He understands how the organization works, what the Kraft family's looking for.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep our eye on how that unfolds.
So there are currently 6 openings for head coaches. So if anybody wants to be a head coach of an NFL team, I feel like this is your year. Like they're looking.
Yeah, because I had predicted earlier on that 3 coaches would be fired during the season.
Which happened
was on the Panthers, the Raiders, and the Chargers. Those happened during the regular season. Mm-hmm. And now we have this Black Monday firings to include 3 more.
And so people think also there might be an opening on the Patriots. It might be. And I read the Bears. People think maybe that one's coming too.
Yeah.
That's like a third
just
of the teams.
Just rebuilding the whole NFL.
Yeah.
Just going to go swap some people around. And
I like it.
See what happens.
Let's mix it up. Yeah. Okay. So we talked about how you correctly predicted that there would be three head coach firings in the season. And I think it's time for a special playoff edition of
Kelly Predicts the Future.
Kelly, your predictions have been pretty spot on so far. What do you have for us in the postseason?
This is going to be fun. So everyone, get your bets ready because I'm about to predict the rest of the season here. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with the AFC.
Okay.
Buffalo Bills versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not much to mention here. I think the Bills are going to win by a mile. Chiefs, Dolphins.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough game for both teams. Mm-hmm. I made the prediction earlier in the season, actually, that the Dolphins are going to make it to the playoffs, but lose in the first round because they can't beat teams with winning records. Mm-hmm. And I'm sticking by that original prediction in my new prediction here.
Uh-huh. Doubling down.
I think the Chiefs are going to win this game, especially because it's in Kansas City. Mm. It's supposed to be real chilly this weekend. So yeah, Chiefs winning this game.
Love it.
Houston Texans and the Cleveland Browns. I am picking the Cleveland Browns to win. I think Joe Flacco, he is back and he has a lot to prove. And the Texans are a younger team. Mm-hmm. And it's the Browns time.
I don't know. I like both of them. I like CJ Stroud. I like Joe Flacco. But I'm backing you all the way. So I'm going Brown.
Thank you. So that's the AFC.
Okay.
So we have the NFC.
Yes.
The Cowboys versus Green Bay Packers. Cowboys have this in the bag.
They're going all the way, baby.
They're taking that one. Yeah, mm-hmm. Going all the way. Detroit Lions and the LA Rams.
My Lions.
We had discussed. Yeah, I'm picking your Lions.
Let's go.
I'm here to support you. And I want to cheer with you.
Mutual support.
Let's go. Jared Goff, let's break the curse. The Lions win a playoff game.
For the first time since 1991.
Yeah, it's their year. They got their good luck charm, Marissa. So, Lions. And then we have the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Philadelphia Eagles. And this one is very, very interesting matchup. A surprising matchup.
Yeah.
But I am picking the Tampa Bay Bucks to beat the Eagles because the Eagles, as we said, they're 1-5 in their last six games. They're on a losing streak. They just don't seem like they're mentally all there. Like there's something happening.
Have you taken into account that their security guy, Big Dom, will be back?
I did. consider that too. But
we're going
maybe,
Bucks.
Yeah, because they've lost since he was not allowed to be in the sidelines, but he is glad to be back during the playoffs, but I just think it's too late for they're already in like this weird mental state.
Yeah,
and the Bucks have shown that. I mean, Mike Evans is on fire right now, and Baker Mayfield's playing his best football he's ever played. And they're on a roll, so I'm giving it to Tampa Bay.
Let's do it.
And so that's the wild card.
So the wild card is all the teams that didn't clinch their division, didn't win the division outright. Right. Yeah. So it's everybody except first place in that division. Is that right?
Yeah. So there's the first seed of the AFC and the NFC, and they have a bye the first week.
Okay. They get to rest as their reward.
But everyone else has to play
in the wild card.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So that is the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers, who we haven't talked about yet. But moving on to week one of the playoffs, they will be in the running. Start with the AFC again. So right now, based on my predictions on the wild card, the matchup would be the Browns versus the Ravens. And
Joe Flacco versus his old team.
Yeah, that will be
I hope that happens. Yeah, exciting. I like that.
But even though there might be some some old rivalries there for him, I think the Ravens will beat the Browns. I have them going all the way.
Let's go Lamar.
So yeah, picking the Ravens for that game. The Bills versus the Chiefs, another tough game because this is a rematch to the playoffs in 2022. Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes facing off, and people are always comparing them because they have similar draft classes, so they are always competing against each other for like stats. So this time it's in Buffalo. Last time they played it was in Kansas City.
Does that change Bills, everything?
Home field advantage means a lot. Especially with these teams. These fans are very, very loud. Bills fans are intense. Very intense. the Bills are on fire right now, and the Chiefs are kind of all over the place. So I'm giving this one to the Bills, Josh Allen. The Bills and the Chiefs played each other earlier this season. If you remember, that was the game where Kadarius Toney had the offsides call. So there's definitely a lot of tension leading up to this game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, at the end of the day, I'm still giving it to the Bills.
Haley Steinfeld's boyfriend over Taylor Swift's boyfriend.
Yes, exactly.
My interpretation of events.
So that is the AFC. And then we have the NFC. Okay. So we have your Lions versus the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, Marissa. I don't know if Goff has it in him to beat out little Brock Purdy.
That's, you know what? I'll believe enough for the both of us.
So unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with the 49ers in this matchup.
You have to do whatever predictions feel authentic to you.
But I will be thinking of you. And then the second game here would be the Cowboys versus the Buccaneers.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going with the Cowboys. So Baker Mayfield had his time to shine against the Eagles, but Dak Prescott is taking the win.
Shutting it down.
So then we have week two, which is Championship Sunday. So we have the AFC Championship,
mm-hmm.
based on my predictions,
mm-hmm.
would be the Ravens versus the Bills. And I'm going Ravens, I said in week one.
Yep.
Week three, when did we make that prediction? Earlier on this season, that the Ravens are going to make it to the Super Bowl. And I think Lamar Jackson has proven that he has what it takes. I think the whole Ravens team has proven. So the Ravens will be the AFC champions. In the NFC, that game will be the 49ers versus the Cowboys. And my prediction is the Cowboys, because again, I predicted that they would make it to the Super Bowl.
Standing by it.
And I'm standing by it. And that's how it will all unfold over the next few weeks.
Okay. You're stopping a little short. That brings us to Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl.
Cowboys. Ravens. Kelly. Who are we predicting is taking it all?
This is for the biggest bet for everyone out there.
I'm going to put money on it. Whatever
Drum
you say.
Roll. I think I'm giving it to the Cowboys.
Really? I thought you were going to say the Ravens.
I'm giving it to the Cowboys.
Okay.
They're scoring lots of points in every game, and their defense has been playing well now, and I think their offense is just going to overtake the Ravens' offense.
All right. Let's see.
And the Cowboys win the Super Bowl.
Wow. That's exciting. I didn't know where it was all going. I can't wait for you to be right. I'll be sad that the Lions win, but it'll be so exciting that
we'll have something else to cheer for.
Exactly. And that it's that you can see the future.
My visions.
I'm going to join in on the predictions. The Super Bowl has always been exciting for people who don't care about football because we've got the Super Bowl halftime show. This year, Usher headlining. I'm so excited about that.
Usher.
We know he's going to have surprise guests.
Alicia Keys.
Definitely. Throwback. I'm predicting Alicia Keys for sure.
I love that.
I'm predicting Lil Jon for sure. I think Justin Bieber is going to come out as well. He was Usher's protege back in the day.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, they'll be dancing up there.
Yeah.
Oh, he hasn't toured in a while, right?
Yeah, he's been quiet. He's been walking around in like sweats and pimple patches for the last 2 years and
preparing for this moment.
I think he
that would be so fun.
Vegas coming on stage, doing a little dance, a little throwback baby, maybe. And I think it's going to be an epic halftime show.
Yeah, with all those people. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for that. I hope that prediction comes true.
How many weeks away are we? I'm excited.
Just like three, five, four, five,
six. Yeah. Oh my God. It's a lot more football ahead. It's okay. I did 18. I can do six more. Just kidding. I keep forgetting I like football now. Old habits die hard.
Yeah. And we just went through. I mean, we just got a sneak preview of it. So.
Yeah. And now we get to watch it all unfold.
We get to cheer for it all.
Yeah.
That brings us to our final goss.
Final goss.
Appears to have been a pretty slow week when it comes to gossip.
Yes.
Everyone's trying to like get their last like incentives, get some money. They're focused on.
Too focused on football. Focused boring.
On the game.
Yeah. There were no scandals this week. No surprising dating. No pop stars coming to games. It was a real snoozer.
Yeah, there's the Golden Globes that took Taylor away. That
and
took
Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah.
So in the spirit of good goss and never settling for something boring, here is a little tea from the past.
Ooh.
We are going to go back in time and revisit a good scandal from 2005. This one is centered around the Minnesota Vikings. So apparently each year, the team was given a budget of $80,000 to throw a party for the rookies. This was traditionally done at a club, just like run up a big bill of bottle service and whatever. But okay,
it's like team bonding for the rookies.
Yes. Yeah. But cornerback Fred Smoot had grander plans. He had a budget and a dream. And so 4 weeks into the season, the Vikings had a losing 1-3 record. They had a bye week, and Smoot decided this was the time to throw what is now referred to as the Vikings love boat.
Oh boy.
Scandal. He rented two large houseboats on Lake Minnetonka and has said that he flew in the best strippers from New York, Miami, Atlanta, Los Angeles, and Texas.
Nationwide.
Nationwide. Some reports say that some of the women flown in were prostitutes in that group as well. He has said they were strippers. So, you know, we'll go with, all we'll go with is the fact that there were like 90 women there.
90?
Yes. There were 90 women there, plus at least 17 current and former Vikings players. Smoot said, in quotes, it got a little X-rated, which based on what I've read is putting it delicately. I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty graphic details, but allegedly this party has been referred to as a floating sexapalooza. The cleaning crew reported to have found used condoms, condom wrappers, sex toy wrappers,
and poor cleaners,
other related paraphernalia. Apparently, a fair amount of sex acts were performed for the audience of the about 100 other people on the boat. So it was like a everyone gather around.
So there's the 17 players plus, I mean, I guess
plus the 90 women. Yeah, and it was like a...
Okay.
Yeah. About 40 minutes into what was supposed to be a 3.5 hour cruise, a woman called the police and said that a bunch of football players had urinated in her yard.
Oh my gosh.
She said they drove up in like a fleet of limousines, urinated in her yard, and then got on boats. So they were
just like a friendly family neighborhood.
Yeah, they live by the water, by the marina.
Yeah, not anymore.
So the boats were called back to the harbor. By Monday morning, news of the party had gone whatever 2005's equivalent of viral was. Smoot and two other players received small fines and ended up pleading guilty to misdemeanor disturbing the peace charges, and head coach Mike Tice was fired at the end of the season.
We've talked about it earlier this season about how Zach Wilson got in trouble for during his bye week, like going apple picking.
Yes,
with his
girlfriend. Flew home to Utah. And
meanwhile, this whole team is like out gallivanting and doing
having
who knows
orgies
what?
On a boat. Yeah. Honestly, flying in all those people sounds like it would add
it
up
like
to more than
80K.
So you should be penalized for going over budget as well. You can actually still rent out one of the boats that they use.
Oh, no, thank you.
Fred Smoot has said, whatever you do, don't use a black light on the boat. And it was a long time ago, but something.
He sounds proud of it.
Seems proud of it. He's given interviews. I think this is his legacy.
Yeah, I actually Googled him, and this is the only thing that really came up. Like, this is what he's known for now.
Some people are remembered for Super Bowl wins, and some people are remembered for the love boat. Vikings scandal.
Wow. There really is nothing like a tea from the past to really wrap up the episode this week.
Yeah, leaving everybody with a fun little tale from years gone by. Well, we will let you know if Kelly's predictions come true. Hopefully all of them do. That would be so exciting. If Bill Belichick remains or leaves, and if any other cruise boat scandals pop up. But until then,
stay juicy.